Thursday, November 12, 2020. This is The Better Life. I'm your host, Timothy Lawson. Living a better life means making plans for Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm thinking my odds are looking good. I'm confident. I'm crossing my fingers that I will remain comfortable with this plan, but I intend to be in Las Vegas the week of the 10th of January, the beginning of that week. So 10, 11, 12 is when I intend on being in Las Vegas. Like I said, low contact. If I'm doing things with people, it's going to be one-on-one, unless I'm at a table, of course, stuff like that. So if you're going to be in the area or something, please let me know. We can probably find a way to maybe have a responsible and socially distanced interaction. But that is currently my plans. I may also have an idea for something a few months later at another location in the United States, but more on that another time. I got action on the Masters. I got Ricky Fowler at 55-1. Tony Finau, I think, at 32-1. I took DeChambeau at 8-1. And that's what I'm rooting in. I got some matchups and some three ball matchups as well. But the players that I have bet for to win a tournament, that's what I took. Ricky Fowler is a perennial bet for me. I feel like he's always competitive, and yet his odds are always just a little bit longer than I think they should be. So that's what I got going on the Masters. Haven't been to the casino. The offers from the casino here at MGM National Harbor, just, I mean, nothing's changed, right? And I think that goes to show sort of their clientele and the fact that they've been able to raise table limits and table minimums, I should say, and that doesn't seem to really be affecting them. But when it comes to offers and promotions and stuff like that, like their little kiosk games they have, nothing's changed. I mean, they've gone right back to the normal, hey, you know, get this many points and play the kiosk game for up to whatever free play. You end up getting $5 of free play every time you play it anyways, right? So you lose $50 to get your $5 of free play. But I've been surprised that there's been nothing to really pull people in that doesn't look any different than it did a year ago. They do have, MGM National Harbor does have a promotion called Wheel of Winners. That is a kiosk game you can play before you play. It's a free game, and it does give you free, it gives you free play without having had to have played yet. And as a gold M Life member, I think I get like $25 of free play or something like that. I'm still doing that each. They do that once a month. And that's just free money, right? And there's, I mean, it's like not impacting my offers. Or maybe that is what's impacting my offers. Who knows? But I doubt it. But that's really all that's going on in the casino front. Sports betting, been kind of on a slide the past couple weeks. Had a big loss. I'll talk about in the interview in today's episode. But had a big loss a couple weeks ago in a game that I liked in game, and have not really been able to get on the upswing again since then. But you know, that's what this racket's all about. That's what happens. If you are in the Better Life Book Club on, I'm just gonna get admin notes out of the way right now. If you're in the Better Life Book Club on Patreon, patreon.com/thebetterlife is where you can support the show with a monthly Patreon pledge. Thank you for everybody there. If you're in the book club, your books are in the mail at the Sands from Dr. Schwartz. And decided to get that out there early. The Better Santa is in the store. TheBetterLife.us/merch is where you can find our t-shirts. At the very top of the page is the Better Santa. It's $25. I think I don't remember what I set the shipping to, but shipping looks like it's costing most people between $7 and $9, but gonna get a few items that are gambling or casino related. Here probably I'm gonna leave that open through probably Thanksgiving, and I'll probably start sending out questionnaires 4 to get an idea of who you are as a gambler or casino goer, so I can kind of, you know, give you a tailored fit, a little box of goodies. So if you did it last year, it's a whole new set of things, right? Nothing's going to be the same. So if you did it last year and you liked it, you're probably going to like it again this year. If you didn't do it last year, people seem to enjoy it. It's kind of fun. But that's there, the Better Santa at thebetterlife.us/merch. Okay, this week's guest, Russell Vaughn, the co-host of the Pre-Snap Picks podcast. You remember a month ago, I had Bradley Porras, who is also the host of this show. And this week, I'm bringing on Russell Vaughn. Here's the thing. Our community's fun. Our community's cool. And I think it's fun to bring other shows sort of into this community, whether they're, you know, in the Venn diagram, whether they overlap perfectly or just a little, whatever it may be. I think this show, especially for sports bettors, it's really good. And the two gentlemen that do the podcast are a lot of fun, and it's been a real blast to get to know both of them and interact with them. When I'm texting Bradley in the middle of a game grieving about my props losing, you know, it's nice to be heard. It's nice to be heard. And so it's a pleasure to bring Russell Vaughn on, his co-host. We talk about a number of things, including, you know what? I'm just going to let him tell you the stories. So Russell Vaughn from the Pre-Snap Picks podcast. Enjoy. I've gotten so casual with this that I don't even have like a way to like start the interview anymore either. I just sort of like, it's my monologue and then there's transition music and then it just goes into me talking to a guest. It's turned into that. Yes. So sitting across from me virtually via Zoom is Russell Vaughn, the second half of the Pre-Snaps Picks podcast. Sir, thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. I had a blast when you came on our pod. You know what you're talking about in the sports gambling world. So
thank you.
Now let's see what I got up the sleeve. I do a little bit of, I'm not necessarily an expert in these things. I'm probably closest to the sports gambling world, but I've dabbled in a couple of different areas, the casinos. I lived in Arizona for 15 years of my life, and there's a lot of Indian reservation property over there, so a ton of casinos pop up over there.
Well, that's I think one of the where I think the Better Life is kind of unique on the spectrum of gambling podcasts. Maybe I think the audience would agree it probably leans a little bit more sports, just naturally because it's what I'm involved in a little bit more, and it's easier to bet on sports on a regular basis than it is to go to a casino. But we sit pretty snugly in the middle, so there's an audience for each one of those conversations. So let's start when we start all these conversations. What was your first exposure to gambling? Go as far back as you can when you were like, even if you didn't know what it was at the time, when you first saw it in real life.
It's funny. So there's kind of, yeah. So I'd have to go with similar to what Brad was talking about on the show. And I can't even recall what it was. I don't know if it was a dog track or a horse track, no idea. But the very first memory that I have is scavenging the ground with all the littered tickets and turning them over to see if there were any winners that dropped out. Just like, you know, you do, like if you saw a lotto ticket on the ground, like, hey, did someone screw up and miss something here? Is this right? A winner? That, like, I had to have been maybe 5-6 years old scavenging the ground for winning tickets on a dog or horse track. That is my very first memory in any gambling fashion. And then later on in my life, I was introduced to the casinos by my good friend Scotty, and sports gambling world through Brad.
Very good. So let's, by the way, did you ever find a winner?
No, absolutely. Yeah,
of course not.
No,
absolutely not. Of course not. So that's like six, whatever, as you're getting through adolescence, high school age, does gambling introduce itself at all?
Never. No.
So no. When do you start going to the casino?
Well, it was my maybe first year out of college. So I wasn't a struggling college kid anymore. I wasn't, you know, trying to figure out how I could feed myself. I actually had some savings worked up. I was like, I got some money to spend. I was living with my mom. So I was basically saving all my paychecks because I wanted to, I was like, I need to get a down payment to buy a house. But I mean, at that point too, single, Didn't have many responsibilities. I was like, what can I, you know, how can I scratch this competitive itch? How can I spend some of this money? So the first experience that I had was, I went to the casino, one of the Arizona casinos, with my buddy Scotty. He's like, hey, come to the casino. Let's play some blackjack. And I was like, oh man, I don't know. I'm really nervous. I do like to save. I don't know what the hell I'm doing. Let me just go in and watch you. So I went in, and this happened for maybe 3 weeks in a row, where we'd go on like a Friday or Saturday after I get off work. And I'm just watching him play hours and hours on end of blackjack. And I'm trying to pick up the game a little bit. I'm doing my own research, like, hey, what is a by the book? Like, how do you play blackjack? Do you hit on the 16s? Do you not hit on the 16s? What do you do with the aces? You split? All that basic stuff. And so, you know, I'm 22 at this point, just trying to soak it all in. And one of the weekends, he just goes, Russ, you're getting on the table with me. I'll help you. Like, if you have any questions, let's just get on it. So we got on like a little $5 table. And just like any gambler starts out, that I think it, you know, that it starts to stick with them. You win on the first couple nights and you think, oh man, what have I been missing out on? All these guys don't know what the hell they're doing. They don't know how to win, but look at me. My first three times I've you know, brought in $100, $150. I can do this. This is, you know, some passive income for me. And quickly I found out that's just not the case.
Yes, and blackjack, no worse enemy in the casino to quickly just remind you how drastic the pendulum can swing the other way.
Oh my gosh. I've seen some crazy stuff where, you know, I've sat across a table from someone who literally didn't lose through like two decks of cards, and I'm just thinking, how the hell does that happen? I've never seen something like that happen. And then there was one night that I can remember where I go in with my allocated money that I'm going to spend for that night. And I think I maybe went, I'm not kidding you, maybe 10 or 15 hands of not a single win, not a single win. And I just think, like, law of averages, that just doesn't happen, right? You're going to win a hand here. And no, like, there was literally times where I've lost 10 or 15 hands right in a row. Mind blowing, especially when you get into it and you think, oh, I've got a couple $100 that I won on my first two nights. This is easy stuff. Nah, the tide can change super quick.
It's funny, as you were talking about losing 10, 15 hands in a row in blackjack, like, I quickly had flashbacks the last time that happened to me, where it's like, I'm pretty sure I haven't won a hand since I sat down. I don't think, I'm not even pushed. Like, I feel like every time I've played a hand, chips have left my box.
Yeah. And you're starting to look at the dealer like, what the hell is going on here, guy?
Yeah.
Help me out here.
Yeah. At least look sad about it.
Exactly. Yep.
I get it if you don't want to interact with me, but don't just act like nothing's happening.
Yeah. I haven't played blackjack in quite a while since I've taken up sports betting, because you have to be careful, man, with how many different games you're getting in, and because it's a tough game to play. There's a lot of losses in it. So you need to, and plus now I'm back in my home state of Massachusetts. So it's not as, the casinos aren't as easily accessible. There is one in Boston that I can go to, but it's about a 50-minute drive. So I do miss it though. I miss going to the table with my buddies and just having a good time. It's the game that I really like to play. And tell me if you've ever, I actually tried to pull up some of the rules because I forgot what some of like the caveats of the game is, but it's a variation off of blackjack called Spanish 21. Are you familiar with it?
Yeah, sure.
I love that game. I just felt like I won there. I won on that game more often than I did regular blackjack.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the dealer, your 21 always beats the dealer's 21. There's some cool quirks with it. And it wasn't offered at every casino that I went to in Arizona. It was just this one. Was it a Wild Horse Pass Casino? It was in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah.
If any of your listeners are in Phoenix, that's a good spot to go play Spanish 21 at.
Yeah, I've met a handful of people that prefer Spanish 21 over blackjack. So
I sense that you're a straight blackjack guy. No Spanish 21 for you.
I rarely. I mean, I feel a certain way about blackjack. The more I get into the longer I am as a gambler, the more I kind of get away from blackjack. Craps is my go-to. Pai Gow, if I'm definitely in for a long session, or what I hope will be a long session, I like to sit down and play some Pai Gow. I will play some blackjack. I did find myself, like, when I was at Plaza and I just needed to, like, churn through some hours of play, I did sit down at a blackjack table that has good rules will always attract my attention, right? Especially if they offer surrender. Everybody knows that I'm crazy about that rule, even though like the house edge that it affects is very small. There's something about being able to surrender on a 16 against a 10 that just really makes me happy. But I've never Spanish 21. I don't dislike it, but I kind of prefer blackjack. And you know, there's only certain situations where I'm sitting down at a blackjack table anyways. If I'm in the casino, in most circumstances, I'm either throwing dice or going to play some pico.
Yeah. I've never played craps. I've heard great things about it. I heard it's a blast to play, but they didn't have any craps tables in Arizona. So I've never, and then the few times that Vegas is only a five, six hour drive away from where I lived in Arizona. Anytime I would go there, I just defaulted to the blackjack table. I don't know. I'm a creature of habit. I don't like a lot of change. And I feel like I know blackjack. I don't have to learn an entirely new game. And I think craps can be somewhat confusing, at least initially, to kind of grasp, but then once you get the hang of it, it makes a little bit of sense. So anytime I went to Vegas, I'd get on the table and just play blackjack all night, which is fun. Whatever, you know, at the end of the day, we do this to have fun. I mean, at least that's what you should be doing, and to make a little bit of money if you can and to have fun. If you're not, then call 1-800 I got a gambling addiction or whatever it is. Because it should be fun. We're setting ourselves up for failure.
Yeah. It's always funny when funny is not the right word for it, but I am slightly amused when I see the advertisements for the, you know, Gamblers Anonymous or the gambling problem hotlines. Yeah. And it's like, and a lot of them always branded like when the fun stops.
Yeah.
I'm like, look, just because the fun stops doesn't mean I have a problem. It just means I'm fucking losing my ass over here. Like, I have it under control. I just haven't won in an hour.
Yeah, exactly. And this ain't fun. Yeah. It ain't fun when you have the Seahawks -2.5 against the Bills and it's your lock of the week. And it's not, there was not one single time that we, because Tim, I know you were on it with Bradley and I. This was our best bet for week 9. There wasn't a single moment in that game where the Seahawks had the lead. Or like, I was just waiting for it. And it was weird. I was talking to Brad on the, because I was driving back to my house at halftime, and I was like, I'm not sweating this yet. Russ still has it, man. Russ is going to come back. We only need him to cover 2.5. I ain't sweating. I was just waiting and waiting and waiting, and it never happened. But it is what it is. On to a new week, week 10. It's going to be a good one.
On to week 10. Well, that's a good segue into sports betting. You said that Bradley got you into this. How did that happen?
He's a bad influence, man.
He's
a bad influence. So the first exposure that I had to sports gambling, I lived with Brad my senior year of college. He was like a super senior. I don't know. He was doing some crazy stuff, double majoring in like finance and economics or whatever. And he comes to my other roommate and I, and he's like, hey, Russ, Cody, I need a place to live for this year. Can I room with you guys? And I'm like, I mean, I don't really, we played baseball together. I know you, you're a good teammate. But
did he know you or just know your names? Like, first of all, who are you?
No. I knew him.
Second of all, how do you know us?
Yeah. No, we were on the same team. We, you know, I was in the weight room with him on the field. Good kid. But didn't really know truly who Bradley Porras was. And I was like, dude, honestly, if you can find us a place, you can live with us, go for it. And so come to find out, that guy is an absolute character. And it's weird, like, you think about, obviously there's no visual, you just hear my voice, but I'm a small 5'9" skinny guy, and Brad is this tall 6'6" goofy looking glasses guy, nerdy. So it's just funny to kind of see us walking around together, because we're just so polar opposites. But it just works, man. He's such a quirky guy, and he would lose his ass. He would lose his ass every week and just talk to us about it. Cause you know, some offshore site, whatever it was, but every week he'd be losing his ass. I'm like, dude, you're a college kid. How do you fund this? How do you get into this? And then, so I always knew he had done it for years. And then I don't know. I just kind of got, so I, again, I'm new. I've only been sports betting for 2 years now. This is my second year. And I was like, dude, I want to get into this, man. Like, I feel like I can win. I feel like I got this. Going back to my blackjack.
Mistake day, number one.
Yes, exactly. I can outsmart the market. I can beat the market. Yeah, no, that's not the way it works. But So yeah, I was just like, dude, let's do this. Like, and it just gave us something to bond over, you know, him and I, we're in like a group chat every single day. He would talk about his picks. I would give him my perspective. I was like, dude, let me get in on this too. Let's get on this together. And so I started doing it about 2 years ago. And last year I'm better this year. Let's just say it. I'm better this year. I'm more disciplined.
It takes a lot of discipline. It takes a lot of, It sounds so amateurish once you admit that it was a problem as a gambler, but one of my biggest steps into becoming into winning more and being more disciplined is to not find a game that I like just because my day started poorly. Right. And and what I mean by that is, you know, you go into a Sunday, you've made your bets, whatever. I scour the lines and like, all right. And then all of a sudden of like the 8 early games, like I'm down a handful of units because it didn't go my way. Well, all of a sudden I like a game in the afternoon games. It's like, wait, no, I don't. Right. Like I'm just looking for a way to get more action in.
Tim, I did this last week. Dude, I did this last week. It's so hard to fight against. Because the Seahawks, they didn't pull it out the 2.5. And I'm just like, okay, this is a down week. It just is what it is. It's not going to be a profitable week. So am I going to go down, you know, 3 units or 4 units? Well, what's the difference to me? Honestly, 3 units, 4 units, it is what it is. I'm just going to try to make it up. And I ended up doing it was Dolphins plus, I think it was 4.5 against the Cardinals. I said, I did a parlay. I had to come big because it was the Seahawks were my max play.
Right.
I went Dolphins plus 4.5. I went Steelers minus, I think it was 13.5 against the Cowboys. That didn't hit. And then I went Bucks money line and that didn't hit. So don't do that. Don't be an idiot like me and try to make up your losses because you're having a bad start to the day.
Look,
but that, I mean, it's such a hard urge to fight.
Gil Alexander, good friend of mine, everybody knows. He has admitted that some of the best sports bettors he knows still chafe at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. Right. He has seen some of the smartest bettors in his circles. He's still seen them chafe after a rough start to a day. This is where, so I think for people, if you're not into sports, like if you're not into this industry, or if you've only really ever bet legally in Nevada or other states now, or maybe you, even people who bet offshore probably don't realize this, but where problem gambling is at its worst is on credit with bookies, right? And this is where problem gambling, like sports betting, really actually becomes an issue, because what we're describing right now is the epitome of, like, when they say that Sunday night or Monday night are like the bailout games, it's because what you owe your bookie is based off of your week up till Sunday, and then usually, you know, you make amends one way or the other, a day or two later. And so, like, that Sunday night game is your last opportunity to either not have to owe your bookie money or at least fill in the gap. Whereas if you're playing on an app in your state or something like that, like there's no difference other than the money available in your account on what you get to do the following day, right? Like you don't have to put all of a sudden more money in your account the next day just because you lost a little bit. So that is actually one of the biggest arguments against illegal bookmaking and its effects on problem gambling in communities is because of that effect that it has on Sundays, and most obviously the biggest in NFL is the more you owe your bookie the Sunday goes on, the more likely you are to all of a sudden want to bet the Jets against the Patriots, right? Oh, like, geez. You know,
that would have been a winner.
It would have been a winner, right?
But you like them against the spread, yeah,
exactly. And and a lot of times, and this is why favorites, especially, I mean, look, favorites get bet by the public going into the weekend regardless, but when you're looking for a bailout game, not only are you looking for, like, you're looking for a game that is likely going to win, right? Regardless of price, right? Mm-hmm. Like you'll lay the -360 money line even if it's a bad number, because it's more likely to cash, right? Because of implied odds. And so, yeah, that's where favorites really get buried at the end of the day too. Anyways, I don't really have any true experience with that. That's just something that's just the realities of,
I mean, you say it and it's one of those things that is just like, it sounds so elementary, like, yeah, makes complete sense, but it's like the way the sports gambler mind processes stuff is just like, it goes over the head. You don't really realize and comprehend what you're doing, even though it sounds so elementary. It takes a ton of discipline, and you know, I'm starting to figure this out a little bit, and try to not make, you know, a 2-unit loss a 3-unit loss, because it ultimately ends up building up. If you do that a couple times, it's not just a couple $100 here or a couple, it's, you know, $1,000 here, $1,000 there. So you got to be careful.
Yeah,
not to preach, because I ain't one to preach.
Look, I am only speaking out of either experience or things that I have been grateful to have learned from people wiser than me. Right.
Yes.
You said you just did that last week. I'm not saying that I haven't done, like, I've stopped doing it completely, but my ability to, like, I've gotten much better at the beginning of a bad day of going, I didn't like any of these other games before. I shouldn't just all of a sudden like them now. Right, just because I want to get action down.
And so, and the same goes for pressing plays too. You have a good start to the day and you start to press it and get greedy. I do less of that. I tend to, you know, as I win, I actually bet smaller because I'm greedy and I want to have a positive week. Yeah. But there's been some times where you get up a little bit and you start to press and just make bad bets. So it's twofold. There's a lot of ways the book can win.
There's a lot of ways the book can win, and a lot of it just because we're undisciplined, you know? Yep. Okay, so what is your approach to sports betting? What are the sports? I mean, we know you're betting on the NFL. What are the sports are you betting on?
Honestly, so my approach is stick to what I know. What I know is football. And when I learned this was the post-COVID era, when football, you know, the sports had kind of slowly but surely started to roll back out. I had, just like everybody in this community, they were itching for sports to come back on. The UFC was the first. And then I think it was hockey, and then baseball and basketball kind of right around the same time. I learned very quickly that there's so much variability in baseball. There's so much unpredictability in baseball, whether it's, obviously you're going to have your starting pitching, but you don't know who's going to come in relief and what's going to happen. Baseball is, for me, the hardest sport to bet. And I lost my ass this year on baseball. So I will not be doing that again. I'm not sports betting baseball. And I come from a sports, a baseball background. I played college baseball. I feel like I should know it. And I was a catcher. It's a very cerebral position. I know baseball. I know kind of the ins and outs, the quirks of it, pitching staffs, it all interests. It doesn't matter. Baseball is so hard to bet. If I had to pick another sport to bet, though I don't do it often, is UFC. I love that sport. It's kind of I feel like it's going to be one of the most popular sports here in the next decade or so. It's so much fun to watch. It's so, gruesome and entertaining. And I honestly love the way Dana White runs the UFC. So I gravitate to the sports that I win money on, and it's the UFC and the NFL, and that's it. That's it.
I'm only laughing because that's exactly why soccer is the first sport that I bet. Like, at the beginning of a day, or when I start handicapping the next day's lines, there could be a whole, like, even like when baseball was still going on in October, like, it was soccer first. And then if I had money left, then I would get into baseball and NFL.
So soccer is interesting to me because I love soccer. It's an underappreciated sport in the United States.
Absolutely.
I just don't know enough about it. So I've thought about it. I got to start telling you on some of your soccer plays, man, because I enjoy watching it. I like watching soccer, even though it can be a little slow moving. I think there's certainly value in soccer.
I have to admit, I was sort of pounding my chest a couple weeks ago of like just how great of, I had like a 10 week run in soccer where I lost 2 out of 10 weeks. I was crushing soccer, and completely not soccer related. I went big on the Seahawks in their game against the Cardinals at the end of that game when the Seahawks were getting it back and they were down three and all they had to do was get a first down. I pounded the pick'em line in that scenario. I was like, there's no one's stopping anybody in this game. How are the Seahawks not going to just get a first down? And what did they do, Russ? They didn't get a first down. And then I'm like, well, crap. And then the Cardinals missed the field goal. And I'm like, here we go. Yep. Russell Wilson's going to make it. And he doesn't make it happen. And I lost my ass that day. And here's what sucks. Not only was that the biggest loss that I've had in probably a couple of years, I have not been able to get back into consecutive winning days since. I think today and yesterday were the first time that I had consecutive winning days since.
Yeah. That's what makes it so tough, especially, I mean, speaking just in terms of like the NFL, it is, you can have bets that you absolutely love and they don't come. Like I was actually FaceTiming Brad cause he had a huge parlay that was reliant on the Seahawks to cover the three. And there were so many opportunities in that game for the Seahawks to what was it? The unsportsmanlike conduct penalty where the guy jumped over the long snapper that killed the Seahawks. And it's just like,
fire him.
Oh man. The Seahawks had four or five chances to win that game. And 9 times out of 10 or 99 times out of 100, the Seahawks still win that game. And it just didn't happen that week. It sucks. That's when betting's frustrating.
It takes a lot for a lost bet to bother me anymore because I have such high volume, right? That's another thing that soccer has done for me is my volume is so large that a single loss doesn't really eat at me too much because I'm already moving on to the next like 10 games, right? Like I had trouble sleeping that night. I mean, it was that I was like, fuck, you know, it's one of those things. It's so great. And it's so reflective almost of the sports that we're watching because had I won, it would have been clear that I made the right decision, right? Like had the Seahawks just gotten that first down, like boom, duh, like pick them. That was great, great bet on my part. Yep. Right. Yep. But because it lost, I'm like second guessing myself. Like, what was I doing? Overexposing myself. I mean, that's win or lose. I did overexpose myself on that position. But anyways, I'm still working through this, Russ.
Hey, that's the thing though. I mean, that's the sports betting in general, right? Like you could have a play. And so this was my thought process. Cause I've had three consecutive weeks, down weeks where I've had max plays that I've absolutely loved. And 2 weeks ago, it was the Pats underdog. They were at like plus 180 against the Bills. And if you watch that game and you sat, I'm up in Boston, huge diehard Patriot fan. If you watch that game for four quarters, you saw that the Bills weren't the right play. And I think it was 3.5. That was the spread. The Patriots are the better team. And you have Cam driving and at the 11 yard line at a very minimum, it's the Patriots kick the field goal, tie the game and push it into overtime. But there's still 30 seconds left on the clock. Cam's at the 11-yard line. They're kind of going up and down the field on the Bills at this point, and Cam fumbles it. And it's just like you sit there. I can very vividly remember this. I'm sitting there. So I'm a bachelor. I'm a single guy, and I have a little probably 12, 15 pound French bulldog, and I'm holding her because I'm getting tight. I'm getting nervous. This is my max play. I'm talking around like, we just got to get it in the end zone, Gilly. Let's go. Let's get in the end zone. And I'm feeling good. I'm feeling right. And then I see him fumble the ball, and I'm just like, oh no. And I put her down and I just blacked out. I don't even remember what happened after that. But my point is like, even your losses can be the right play. And those are the toughest ones to swallow. When you sit there and say, I was on the right side, that was the right side. And it just didn't happen. It's the same thing with the Seahawks and the Cardinals. You were on the right side. And especially when you're max playing that thing and it doesn't go your way, you do lose some sleep. Those are the nights that you lose some sleep.
So it's as a Seahawks fan, the past decade has not been boring, but it's also been very stressful. The Seahawks are the only sports team that I have an emotional response to.
Can I, before you get into this, let me just say, because you're a Seahawks fan, I'm a Pats fan. You probably don't.
Be careful. You're about to go with this, buddy. I'll kick you off this call real quick.
Hey, the Super Bowl between the Patriots and the Seahawks.
Stop
granted,
it.
My outcome.
What are you doing here?
It was better. It was better. It was a better outcome. But that is probably one of my favorite Super Bowls that I've ever sat through and watched, because it truly was two of the best teams. Your guys' defense that time was that year was unbelievable, and the swings in that game, whether it be the Edelman catch, or the fact that the Pats were down 14 points twice. I'm sorry, Tim. And if you're a sports bettor too, I've heard you mention this on your pod, you gravitate to the teams that you win with.
Yep.
And I don't have that with the Patriots this year. And too bad I wasn't a sports bettor when the Patriots were, I was in high school, so I had no idea what this world was all about. But it's so neat that, you know, you have a team that you love and you feel confident putting your money behind. I do the same too. I love the Chiefs. And I love myself some Seahawks, so yeah. That makes it even more fun.
Okay, so each time I have a guest on the show, I ask Twitter, hey, what questions do you have this person? They have no idea who I'm inviting on the show, mm-hmm. but I let them submit questions.
Yep.
I'm going to get through. Do you have any Masters bets? Did you get down on any Masters this year?
No, because I don't like golf. I don't like to play golf. I don't like to watch golf. I know nothing about golf. No Masters bets for me.
Interesting. I will. So, a challenge for you next year,
mm-hmm.
follow people who are into Masters, mm-hmm. just follow a few of their bets, and then casually, like, the Masters has a stream on their website, and just have it on while you're working or something like that.
Yep.
I did this 3 years ago, and all of a sudden I am hooked. And not golf in general. I don't dislike golf, but I don't like watch it or care about it. But the Masters,
the Super Bowl of golf.
Yes, yeah. There is something like I get excited about the Masters each year, and it all started because I made some bets on the Masters based off of people I respect. I threw mm-hmm. the stream on while I was working, and it was just kind of fun to have this like all day monitoring of my bets while I was working. And like golf isn't distracting. That's what's kind of nice about it.
That's
right.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of people take, I think it's like Tiger plus 225 to miss the cut.
Yes. And he's not going to. So
yeah, I saw he was killing it. He had a couple birdies earlier today. So
I was,
hopefully you were not in that camp.
I was not in that camp. I was confident, two or three years ago, I would have considered him missing the cut. I think last year him winning proved that he can compete in Augusta. So I was not bold enough. I think Jordan Spieth to miss a cut was the only one that I'd really considered, but I actually did not bet anybody missing the cut. The only who do I have? I have bets on Finau. I have bets on Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler, who's always great in Augusta, was talked about by nobody this year. I feel like nobody was bringing him up in the conversation of who can compete. And I got him at 55-1. He's minus -3 on the day, still hasn't finished his first round. And then I have Ricky Fowler in a three ball competition with I think Willett and Augustine, and he's winning that as well. So those are currently my then I think I have Bryson. Oh, I took DeChambeau as well, because someone asked, what's the craziest thing that happened to you in 2020?
Yeah, I know who asked this, and
yes.
I know why he asked. So I'm trying to think of the answer that I want to give.
Sure.
Because I know what answer he's fishing for.
Mm.
I know it. 2020 has just been a crazy year in general, whether it be COVID or I got a new dog. But I will tell you, it the craziest thing that happened. I'll give Brad, my the host of the Pre-Snap Picks podcast, what he wants.
Okay.
The craziest thing that happened to me, and I'm all good now about it. But life is life. Life is tough. And one day, I'm sitting in my house. Life is normal. I'm sports betting. I was like the night before, I was sports betting on the UFC. It was good. And then 24 hours later, the woman that I've been dating for 5 years, gone. She didn't die.
I was going to say.
She didn't die.
No, I was like, no, whoa.
She didn't die. She didn't die.
It's like, why was Bradley pulling, like, fishing for this story?
No, he's not a dick. He's okay. Not mean. Well, I mean, he is a dick. He
sure.
is a dick. But, no, she. So I met her in Arizona. I mentioned to you guys previously in this pod that I lived in Arizona.
Yeah.
Somehow coaxed her and sold her on moving 3,000 miles east. and she's native to Arizona, never experienced the cold weather. Ultimately, it didn't work out. And that's the craziest. It's like literally life can change on the dime of a hat, just like sports betting. So a game can change on a dime. And that's probably the craziest thing that happened to me in 2020. It was a tough time, but you know, looking back on it, you think, oh, everything happens for a reason, man. Everything happens for a reason. I think ultimately ended up turning out for the better. So that's the crazy. I have to answer it honestly. That's the craziest thing.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your honesty. How did she how did she feel about sports betting?
She, I don't know. She didn't, dude, she didn't care about sports, which is red flag number one. Get you a girl that cares about some sports, like Bethany. I don't know if anybody or your listeners listens to the pre-snap picks pod.
I don't know if they do. By now, if anybody who's listening, if you're into sports betting, I highly recommend you try check out the pre-snap picks podcast. That should be evident by now that I invited both co-hosts onto the show here that I enjoyed enough that I want to make sure that people are exposed to it. So
and we've only done this with one person on the pod so far. We've basically given Tim an open invite. Yes. To join, whether it be guessing the lines or our betting strategies for the week. So Tim, whenever Tim wants to join, he's welcome to join, because the dynamic between myself, Brad, and you, I think is really good. And obviously you come with a different angle, whether it be the prop betting and stuff, which is really unique and something that I think a lot of listeners crave. So you're awesome, man.
Thanks, man. And I think the most resounding endorsement that I can give your podcast is it has blown my mind that a podcast putting out multiple episodes a week has caught my attention enough that I want to listen to each episode throughout the week. Like, I have a hard enough time listening to some podcasts that I enjoy that only put out one episode a week, right? You guys put out what, 4 episodes a week, all in different sort of iteration, different versions of itself. And I listen to each one of them. I enjoy it.
Yeah. Yeah. They're all kind of unique in their own way. They've got a little bit of a different flavor. So it's not the sort of the same content every single week. Sunday night, we do the guessing the lines. Tuesday, Brad's wife goes in and basically picks names out of a hat. You know, whatever team she likes, whether it be the jersey or just the story that she's
doing than the rest of us are.
She's killing it. Brad ran the numbers or whatever. She would be third in the Circa contest, right?
It's crazy.
Now, with the chance to, you know, she $100,000 payout right there. Literally, she's just picking blindly. So it's kind of a really unique, creative show. On Tuesdays, and then Wednesdays or Thursdays, we do our betting strategies. And then Fridays or Saturdays, we do our 5 best games that we like against the spread. So a little bit different in each.
Yeah. Anyways, I endorse it. If you're into sports betting, you should check that out. What is your favorite gambling destination that's not Las Vegas?
When you say destination, I guess you can't say my home. That's a cop out. I'm a quiet dude. I like to just hang with me and my dog and watch the games in peace. So if I want to pout, if I want to punch the couch or scream the F word, I can do it in the comfort of my own home. If I had to, and I mean, haven't been a ton of places, it would have to be Talking Stick in Scottsdale, Arizona. It's just your general casino. But it's super clean. It's in a really good area. There's a good crowd that is around there. The weather's always good, so you never have to worry about you know, the weather in Arizona. And there's a lot of just cool, unique things to do around the casino as well, whether it be like a Top Golf, which is a kind of like a fun, creative way to you know, for a driving range sort of thing. So I would say Talking Stick in Scottsdale, Arizona is my favorite.
Okay. We got a lot of questions from people, even though I'm only batting 500 on remembering to ask these. What is your favorite podcast? That's a great question. What podcast do you, is an auto listen for you?
Besides The Better Life?
Well, thank you. That's very flattering.
Tim, I love what you do on The Better Life. I think it's really cool to drill down and, you know, people's unique perspectives and gambling experiences. So we can kind of draw from each of those and build, you know, our own gambling profile. But I would say,
but honestly, Tim,
I'm gonna, it's not sports gambling. I mean, I'm being 100% honest, it's a podcast that my cousin does. It's called I'll Drink You Drive. And it's basically, kind of a unique description of the show there. But basically they go to, especially in Boston there's a lot of micro small breweries, mm-hmm. and supporting kind of this micro small breweries. You go around, you try their different beers, whether it be IPAs or what, you know, lagers, whatever the case is. And basically he goes in there, he gets the full experience, and then he reports back on that experience, the ambiance, if he'd recommend it, if the beer was good, if it was shit. And the thing that I love about it is, like, you think that it's a podcast that's just like essentially reviewing beer, but it's so much more than that. They go down a lot of weird rabbit holes, and although the content is supposed to be on reviewing beer, and it is at its crux, at the core, there's also a lot of humor and unpredictability of each show. So I'll Drink You Drive is probably my favorite pod.
Very good. One of my favorite breweries that I can't get access to beer here. I know it's a very specific category to put them in, but if I were to have a list of breweries that I've had before that I can't get the beer in my area, is actually in the Boston area. It is Lord Hobo Brewing Company.
Yeah, yeah.
They have made a couple beers that I thought was just, there was one brief moment where the distributors were distributing in DC, and I was able to get some of their beer, and then that stopped, and I have not had it since. But yes, I very much enjoyed their beer.
Yep, I'm aware of them.
You mentioned let's segue from the Boston to get to a little game we called Bet Your Life on It. I'm gonna give you a scenario. Of course, this is just for fun, so don't take it too seriously, but try to answer it as seriously as you can.
Okay.
Whatever decision you make, if you were to bet your life on something and you were right, yep. you would be granted a whole second lifetime. If you're wrong, you die the second it is graded as a loss. What Boston sports team is next to is going to win a championship next? And you can choose any sports team that is considered a professional team. So if you're aware that maybe like the USL soccer team up there is going to do really great next year or something.
The New England Revolution or whatever it is.
Yes.
So the smartest bet. This is the smartest bet. Celtics. It has to be the Celtics. Yep. They got a good young core, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown. I know Danny Ainge is trying to make some trades before the trade deadline because they have 3 first-round picks and they don't want to draft more rookies. They're trying to get some experienced talent. So I think, honestly, the Celtics are one big away from really competing for a championship right now. They're as good as the Eastern Conference Finals will get. But if they can get a quality big like a Joel Embiid, they're right in the thick of it. So I'd have to go Celtics. Patriots are a mess. Red Sox.
Which team then is most likely to blow that up for you? Which team's gonna disrupt that bet?
The Red Sox.
The Red Sox. Yeah.
Yeah, because they're either bottom feeder or winning a World Series. That's it. There's no in between of them.
There's no in between.
No.
A few more questions from Twitter. We got so many of these. Goodness. What are your favorite? Let's go with your, like, if you did, so you chose one in Arizona. When was the last time you were in Vegas? You go to Vegas? Is Vegas a thing for you?
Yeah, I mean, it was more often when I lived in Arizona. Now it's a deep flight for me. So yeah. When I went to Vegas last time, it was probably the coolest blackjack experience that I had. I went to the Aria. It's still a relatively new hotel. But when I went, it had maybe been open for a year or two.
Yeah.
And it was one of those nights, I'm sure a lot of the listeners can attest to, where you're sitting at the same table all night long, and I was winning, and which is great. And it wasn't necessarily the winning that was cool. It was the people at the table were just a blast to hang out with. There were 2 people that had actually just flown in from South Korea the morning of, and they could speak good English, but they were buying the whole table. Everyone was winning. It was one of those things where everybody on the table was killing it.
Yeah.
He was buying everyone drinks. It was an absolute blast. So if I had to pick a hotel in Vegas that I love, just based on experience, it would be the Aria. But I mean, Circa looks dope too.
Yes. But sight unseen on whether that's actually going to be a value downtown. I think we know it's not going to be a value downtown, but is it really going to be worth the money that some of those prices are sitting at? But Chuck Frain wants to know how long to the recording until Tim realized he was on the wrong mic. That's not a thing anymore, Chuck. I have, thanks to Zoom, Zoom gets it right every time. The software I was using before somehow would mess up, especially Skype. Fuck Skype. Yeah, but not a thing anymore. Anyways, now that Maryland voted to allow sports betting, what are the chances that the Maryland lottery will be ruining it for bettors? Seriously, so are you following? I mean, I'm sure you're not following like Maryland specific, but was it like, do you follow like states that are legalizing sports betting? Is this like a thing you follow at all?
Not necessarily, but I mean, I'm down on Mass because they're always last in line. They're always super conservative. So I'm sure we're going to be one of the states that is last to fall in line, even though I can literally drive 5 minutes north to New Hampshire and legally sports bet.
That's a craps question. So that's already kind of been answered. Someone just shared a gift that says, who is your daddy and what does he do? Feel free to answer that however you'd like.
My daddy is Big Poppy. David Ortiz. I don't know.
And he's a sports commentator now, right?
Whenever someone says like, who's your daddy? I think of Big Poppy and Pedro Martinez back in 04. I don't know how closely you follow baseball, the sure. Red Sox Yankees rivalry, but it was the year that we came back, the Red Sox came back and we're down 3-0 to the Yankees, came back and ended up winning the World Series. But it's like Pedro Martinez, he couldn't find it against the Yankees. The Yankees just had his number. And there was a press conference where he just goes, you know, in his Dominican accent, he's like, I just got to tip the cap and call the Yankees my daddy. And so that whenever someone asks me that question, that's the first thing that comes to my mind.
Dan Yost wants to know, mimosa or Bloody Mary?
Mimosa. I've had one Bloody Mary. It was the worst drink I've ever had in my life.
I don't get it. It's one of those things that I have no judgments. But when I see someone drinking a Bloody Mary, I'm like, why is that the drink? Of all the drinks that they could possibly serve you, why is that the one you want?
I literally, it was like a $10, $11, $12 drink. It looked real good. That's why I got it. And I was like, I'm not letting this go to waste. It's an expensive drink. So it was like literally one of those plug your nose and just suck it down type of drink. And it was the last time I'll ever drink a Bloody Mary. If you want some good acid reflux, sure, a mimosa works.
I love mimosas. They're and DC, bottomless brunches are a thing here, right? And
yep.
So that obviously comes with mimosas, and that's a whole
there
lot
are
of fun.
Fewer things that are nice or better in life than a brunch.
Yeah,
love me some brunch.
Me too. I just, anybody who had a brunch mention on the podcast, go ahead and cash that ticket. I think that was probably sitting at like plus 300. It's definitely, definitely an underdog, but go ahead and cash that ticket. All right, let's finish with, to convince people why they should listen to the Pre-Stats Fit podcast. What is your bet of the week? Like what are you loading up for this week?
Oh, that is such a
what do you
bad,
like
it's such a bad question this week, because I would have been feeling so good about my max play of the week the last 3 weeks that didn't ultimately end up hitting. So this week I took a little bit of a different approach, and I've put my money behind this, but I'm doing, don't cringe, I'm doing a parlay as my max bet.
Okay.
And I'm categorizing it, or I'm phrasing it as my bounce back parlay. And it is,
man. You have a future in pick selling, my friend. Yeah, you'll be a great tout.
do you know which one of my my legs are in that parlay? It's a money line parlay.
How many teams?
Two.
You are taking, hold on.
Don't overthink it, Tim.
I know. I was looking at the board real quick to make sure I don't overthink this. You are taking the Seattle Seahawks. And you are taking the – are they both underdogs? Are either of them underdogs?
No, no, no. One of them is an underdog. And I'll give it to you. You're right on the Seahawks. That's okay. One leg. Yep.
Oh, the other one's not an underdog?
No.
The Saints?
No.
Okay.
I'm going Bucks. It's a bounce back parlay. They got whooped by the Saints.
Yeah.
No. So I will not be taking the Bucks against the spread, because I think it's up to six, and I just can't do that, because I would say the Panthers play they almost play like a money ball for football, where they keep the games really tight. They don't turn the ball over. It's a really clean game. They control a lot of the clock. So
let's make sure we didn't cover anything important here. We got through all those questions. We got through that. We kind of talked on that.
This was good. This was fun, though. I mean, I appreciate you having me on.
Of course.
I am, like I said, I am sort of novice in this, so I hope I was able to share my experience, and people can maybe take a nugget or two here from it, and and so, find some value in it.
So something, and that's, this can be our finishing sentiment, is a number of times in, actually, a lot of guests that I come on will say, hey, they clarify what their gambling is, or they want to make sure that I know that, that maybe they're not as big of a gambler as other people that I've had on. This isn't the whale life. This isn't the high roller life. This isn't the professional better life. This is not, this isn't gambling with an edge. I don't just talk to APs. This is the better life. And anybody who involves themselves in some aspect of gambling, whether it's just sports or just casinos, if you're someone who just sits down and plays Keno all day, that is interesting and I want to know about it. You know, your novice, especially one as someone who has a podcast, I think it's definitely a challenge to be new at something and also be a content creator in that same space. So let's finish on that. How has podcasting in this space impacted your betting or vice versa? Answer that however you'd like.
Yeah, it's a really good question, because there's a sense of, like, at least how I feel, there's a sense of accountability and ownership that comes with it when you're actually broadcasting your picks and your opinion. Because if I lose my own money, that's one thing. But if someone is taking my advice and, you know, plays the Seahawks -2.5 against the Bills, or the Pats on the money line against the Bills, which, as I'm speaking of this, screw the Bills. The Bills screw are really the culprit in all of this.
Yes.
It kind of stings me a little bit more. So I'm really thoughtful about telling the audience what my picks are and where I am or aren't laying my money. Because there's some things that we talk about on the Pre-Snap Picks podcast that I don't put my money on, but maybe I think it would be of interest to other people and maybe they want to do it. But I'll be blunt with them and say, I'm not putting my money on this one, but I'm putting my money here. And so that's the thing that I think shapes how the podcasting world has kind of shaped me as a better, is you take more accountability and ownership of your picks. And obviously it's nice when you win and other people win, but there's the other side of the coin too, where, you know, I have a heart. Brad likes to say I don't have a heart, but I feel bad when people might tail us and lose. So that's probably the way I'd characterize.
I concur. I can resonate with that a lot.
Hey, you know what question you had asked Brad on the Better Life pod with him was whether, what was it? Remind me, because I may butcher the question a little bit, but it was like, do you gamble, or is it harder or easier for you to like gamble on teams that you like? And his answer, what do you recall what that question was? It was like,
yes, I can answer this. So let me frame this, make sure I frame this question correctly. What is your approach to betting on teams that you are a fan of, and more specifically teams that you have an emotional response to, right? So like for me, that's the Seahawks.
Yeah.
My approach is I never play a favorite against the Seahawks, because then there's no way for the Seahawks to win and my bet to win. Yeah. Right. I can't guarantee that's always like 100% the case. It's usually my approach. Yeah. What is your approach to, like, for some people, they just don't bet it at all, right? Like, I don't want any money on a game with a team that I'm emotionally involved in with. Yeah. Some people only bet their team. I will bet against the Seahawks if I'm taking points with the opponent, because right, they can both win. And so what is your approach?
I just think that's such an interesting question to ask, because especially to a Patriot fan, where you hold Bill Belichick to the highest standard and the organization to the higher standard. You almost give them a little bit more credit than what they're kind of due, especially this year, where I have potentially lost out on a little bit of money because I love the Patriots so much. And I think they are maybe better than what they truly are. And so it just, there's such an emotional element to that question that I always find very, very interesting. So I was, when Brad talked about like, oh, I'll do it on the Texans, but not on the Astros. Yeah. I was like, that's how I am on the Patriots. Even now, like, it took every bone in my body to tease the Ravens from 7-1. And it's one of those bets. You're just like, all the data in the world tells you that this is a good one. This is a good bet. But it just pulls at my heartstrings a little bit to make that bet. So I thought that's an interesting question. I love that one.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Well, and I'm glad he brought it up because I wouldn't have thought to ask it. I had asked him specifically because I had just ran a poll on Twitter, curious about the same thing. But tell anybody, we've promoted it enough, but now tell people where they can find you and the podcast.
Yeah, anywhere that podcasts are distributed, Pre-Snap Picks podcast. And hopefully, Tim, we can have you on one of these next weeks for whether it be Guessing the Lines or our betting strategies for the week. Like I said, you're the man. And give me a follow-up, Russ11Vaughn on Twitter.
There we go. It, Russ, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Tim.
Big thanks to Russ for joining me. Always a pleasure talking to a fellow sports bettor. Again, if you didn't catch his Twitter handle, he is at RussE11Vaughn. You'll see the mention when I promote this show. Don't worry about remembering what I just realized. That's kind of dumb. Just check out the tweet that I used to send if you're inclined to follow him on Twitter. Follow the Better Life on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, at The Better Life. Most active on Twitter, kind of active on Instagram, not very active on Facebook. If you send me a message on Facebook and I don't respond, it's not because I'm ignoring you. It's just because I just realized I had a message. That's happened a couple times to some people, and I apologize that I haven't seen that, even though social media is technically my profession. I seem to be really bad at it in real life. Next week, I'm doing Better Viewing with Mark Duvall from You Can Bet on That again. Some more Office episodes, some more Rick and Morty episodes, and possibly another show. I haven't figured out what other show I'm going to start dip my toe into, but I think I'm going to try to clean up, try to finish Rick and Morty. We get into another season of The Office, dabble into another show, because obviously not everybody really cares about those shows, but they're my favorites. That's where we're starting. And then if you follow me on Instagram, between now and the next time we release that, I will, via Insta stories, kind of share some of the episodes that I think people, if you want to follow along or you want to be more familiar with before we do that, that's where I'll share those on there. Follow there if that's something you're interested in. All right, it's getting late on a Thursday. I'm really proud of how quickly I'm literally flipping this like an hour after the interview ended, and that's happened a couple times. So when these monologues seem really ad libbed and kind of rushed, is part of the reason why is I'm just trying to flip it and get it into the feed. So thank you everybody for listening. I truly I say it every week, and every week I try to make it sound more and more serious, but I really do appreciate everybody listening. I realize, looking at my own podcast that I'm subscribed to, that some of the podcasts that I really enjoy, I still struggle to listen to on a regular basis. And that's largely, of course, due to COVID, just not commuting and stuff like that. So the fact that so many of you still hit play on this podcast each week, it just means the world to me. Thank you so much. On behalf of Russell Vaughn, good night and good luck.